Father, we bless you today. We honor you. We magnify you. Father, we're so glad to be in your house today. We know you've always got something good waiting on us. Father, we are excited to receive from your word and your Holy Spirit. Father God, we want to thank you for feeding your people. We are all your people. This is your pasture. So thank you for unction and utterance for today. What you have for those here in this live audience, what you have for those watching or listening through some other venue. Father, we trust you, look to you, and thank you for the power of your love today. Father God, we just thank you for touching people in this congregation, every ear that listens, every ear that hears, and we'll give you all of the glory, all of the honor and the praise for everything wrought in our midst. And one more thing, Father, thanks for, as has been prayed, thanks for blessing our pastors. Thanks for blessing Pastor Mrs. Hagen. Father God, we just love them. Refresh them, renew them, strengthen and bless them, Father God. We thank you so much for them. And we'll give you all the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, shake somebody's hand. You can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. How many was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this is obviously Communion Sunday, and the table is set. And seeing the table set here reminds me of so many special holidays when my mom would set her table. She's been in heaven since 1984. But my sweet mama, she loved to have a decorated table with everybody's favorite food on it. And our dining room was kind of funny. My friends always said, man, your dining room at your house could be on like a magazine cover, because my mom always had it decorated so nice. She never wanted anybody sitting in the dining room. We sat all over the house. Don't you sit in that dining room, unless you want to be ejected, you know. But if it was a holiday like Thanksgiving or somebody's birthday, we all sat in the dining room, and boy, my mom would lay out a spread. And I can still, I remember one Thanksgiving when my dog Toto came in. He was a big canine German Shepherd. And I know, Toto. Hey, Toto came in, and my mom had just taken her ham out. And Toto put his big paws up on the oven when nobody was in the kitchen, and he grabbed my mom's hand. When my mom came in the kitchen and found Toto eating that ham, I thought we both were going to die that day. She put us both out. But my mom, she could make the juiciest turkey. My mom, she'd cook her turkey in a brown paper bag. She'd line that bag with butter or something, and she'd cook the turkey in a brown paper. Don't ask me what she was doing. I thought she was going to burn down the house. But my mom made the juiciest turkey, and she'd make sure everybody's favorite. My mom would have collard greens and rice with giblet gravy, and she'd make homemade mac and cheese that was baked, and my mom would lay it out. When she set the table and said, come to the table, there was no straggling. There was no, you know, you didn't have to call us a second time. How many of you can remember when your mama set the table, your mama cooked the meal, your favorites on the meal, and then, boy, at the end, my mom would bring out like an apple pie or some kind of cake. Then she'd bring the sweet potato pie out. Y'all don't know nothing about that. When she'd bring out the sweet potato pie, woo! Had that nutmeg in it, you know. And man, nobody could set a table like my mama. But I'll tell you what, God has set a table. And this table that's set in the natural is a reminder to you and I to think spiritually today. Because there is a natural table set here, but in the realm of the spirit, God has set himself a table. And I don't care who your mama is, nobody can set a table like Father God. And he can set a table better than your mama, better than your grandmama and them. Go over to Psalm 23 with me. Let's start in Psalm 23. David recognized that God knew how to set a table. And David recognized that God could set a table unlike anybody else. Psalm 23 first. Psalm 23. In Psalm 23 at verse 5, of course, he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, David could see in the realm of the spirit that God had set a table. You know, when you go to the beginning of that Psalm 23, look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know what David was really saying? On God's table is provision. On the table of the Lord, there's provision. I shall not want. Whatever need you may have in this place today, you don't have to want for a thing, because your Father is in the house today, and your Father has set a table. He set a table with every need. Every need for physical sustenance has been provided on the table. David said, he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He's got a table set. He went on. He said, he leads me beside the quiet waters. In verse 3, he restores my soul. Yeah, I said, the Lord's got emotional healing on his table. And sometimes in life, we can go through things that can scar us, that can wound us. Sometimes at the hand of another person, we can be scarred emotionally or wound. But let me tell you this, it doesn't matter what you've been through. No matter what you've been through, God's got the power to heal you. Whether you need healing emotionally or physically or financially or whatever the need is, I said, God has set a table this morning. And if you can see beyond the realm of your natural eyes, and if you'll look at this table with the eyes of faith, you'll see that God's got provision on the table for you. You should be excited that there's a table set. He went on, David said, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I like that, because David was reminded, hey, when I need guidance and direction, God's got that on his table. And I said, if you need direction from the Lord in any area of your life, God has already put that on his table. I said, amen. He said, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me tell you, you come in here feeling weak, not sure who you are in Christ, there's righteousness on the table. All of our in him realities are on the table. I said, God has so spread a table. David recognized it. He said, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. That's like his spirit and his word. But he said, I'm not going to fear any evil. There's no fear on this table. There's confidence and reassurance and comfort on the table. I said, amen. Verse 5 again, he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. There's a cup on the table. And David said, the cup is not just full on God's table. He said, the cup is overflowing. Then he said this, surely goodness and loving kindness, or goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, goodness and mercy are on the table. So I say to you, look, what have you done? It really doesn't matter. If you'll come to the Lord with your heart open to him, and if you'll come to the Lord and repent, I tell you what, Jesus has provided. Jesus has provided for the forgiveness of our sins. And whatever it is you've done, God will forgive you. God has released you. If you'll just come to him humbly and ask him to forgive you, I said, his forgiveness is on the table. Somebody said, yeah, preacher, you don't know what I did. You know what? Goodness and mercy are on the table. I said, amen. And then he said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I said, eternal life is on this table. I said, if you'll recognize, not just naturally, what we're doing naturally here is a representation. It's a reminder. God's trying to get us to remember something this morning. Yeah. Israel, throughout points in their history, they forgot how good God could spread a table. When they struggled sometimes, when they felt like they were in the wilderness, they forgot God knows how to set a table like nobody can. Look over at Psalm 78 with me. Psalm 78, around verse 18. Psalm 78, around verse 18. David knew God knows how to spread a table, but Israel, throughout times in their history, they struggled. They struggled seeing how powerful our God is, how awesome our God is. He can spread a table in the wilderness. He can spread a table when you're struggling. He can spread a table on your job. He can spread a table here at the church house. He can spread a table at your house. 78, Psalm 78, verse 18. The scripture says about Israel, their disobedience. They weren't able to see the table that God spread. And verse 18 says, and in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. And then they spoke against God And they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give us bread also? Will he provide meat for his people?" So after delivering them from Pharaoh's hand, when Israel got into the desert, they immediately began to doubt God. But this table is a reminder to you and I today that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult your struggle is today, don't you forget that God is your Father and that God is your provider. You better remember who brought you to this place. I said, God, he's a mighty good God. I said, he bought them out of Pharaoh's land, took them from Pharaoh's hand. And when they got to the wilderness, they were thirsty, of course, 2.5 million people. But God bought water from a rock. And after they quenched their thirst, they said, "Yeah, that was good. That was good. But God, do you have anything else?" They said, that was like, I was in workout class the other day, and the instructor said, "How is this class?" We were working out. So she looked at me. She said, "How's the class?" I said, "It's all right." She said, "Okay, it's going to be harder." I was kidding her. No, but we act like, sometimes people act like, well, okay, you did that, God. That was all right. It was pretty good. You got anything else? That's how Israel's attitude was. Instead of seeing our awesome God delivered us from the hand of Pharaoh. Think about it. That's what they should have been saying. Our awesome God, he bought water from a rock and quenched the thirst of 2.5 million people in a desert where there was no water. Hey, they should have said, our God has made a way where there was no way. And if he bought water from the rock, the same God will give us bread. The same God will give us meat. But they didn't go that way. They said, yeah. We know you bought water from the rock, but can you give us any bread? And the Lord rained down manna from heaven. They said, that was a pretty good trick. That was a pretty good trick, Lord. You got anything else for us? We need meat. He bought them quail till it was coming out of their nostrils, the Bible says. And they continued to question, can he spread a table in the wilderness? When I'm going through adversity, can you provide? When I am hurting, can you heal? When I am in need, can you direct and guide? They doubted God again and again. But this table is a reminder to you and I, don't doubt like Israel. Hey, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, let me tell you, God, the God of heaven, he is your awesome God. I said, he's an awesome God. I said, your God, he's an awesome God. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is greater than what you're facing. He's bigger than what's coming against you. He's stronger than the problem that's against you. I said, he's greater, he's bigger, he's stronger, and he's your God. The Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? It's a rhetorical question, but the answer is nobody and nothing. Yeah. Let's go over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're talking about the Lord has set a table. Oh, but it's bigger than the table that you see right here. I said it's much broader than the table that you see right here. This table here is to remind us how awesome our God is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 23. I'm reading from New American Standard. He said, "For I received," Paul wrote, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Wow. I received from the Lord. Paul said, I like it where it says in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation said, "I handed down to you what was given to me by the Lord, what was given to me directly by the Lord to give to you." In other words, Paul was saying, the Lord specifically instructed me to tell you and to remind you of the importance of communion. He said, I got a direct revelation from the Lord about the significance of this. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread." It's interesting that the scripture says it that way, the night that he was betrayed. Jesus went through so many, he suffered in every area. He suffered so greatly for you and I. And yet the awesome, amazing thing is that the Father allowed him to suffer, allowed him to go through it. And in so doing, he paid the price. His death was substitutionary. He paid the price for you and I. The debt we owe, Jesus paid. The penalty we should have paid, he paid it. He suffered, bled, and died, and his Father raised him from the dead. Oh, happy day. But on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed. Can you imagine the scar? You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody here, you ever been betrayed? You ever feel like somebody betrayed you? Don't raise your hand. You know, the thing about it is, on the night that he was betrayed, he instituted the covenant of communion. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what emotional or spiritual or physical needs you have, the Lord is the answer this morning. In the night, let me keep reading. In the night, verse 24, in the night which he was betrayed, he took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup also after supper. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let me stop there. You know, the first thing Jesus did on that night when he celebrated communion, the Last Supper, is he stopped, he took the bread, and he stopped, and he gave thanks. And this table this morning is a reminder to you and I to stop and show our appreciation. Communion should remind you and I that we are to demonstrate to God our appreciation. The table is a reminder that God has already accomplished and done so much for you and I. It's not about what he's doing or gonna do. Thank God for all of that. That's true too. But it's about what he's already done. The work of Jesus is a finished work. It's an accomplished work for you, for our redemption. And that should engender our extreme appreciation. Communion is a reminder. When we see the table, we should remember God has been good to me. Communion should remind you of how God brought you through when it looked like you weren't going to make it. Communion should remind you that there were days when it looked dubious that you would make it financially through the end of the month, but the Lord stepped in for you. Yes, he did. He stepped in and he made a way. Communion should remind you, like just like Israel was in the desert, they were in the desert with no way, but God, he made a way out of no way. God has done that for you. I said, the same God has made a way out of no way. You ought to testify. He's made a way out of no way for you. You can act like you don't need him if you want to, but you know, I know, you needed a job and you went down on a bended knee and you said, Father God, I need your help. I'm going down. I need your help. And the Lord lifted you up. I said, he blessed you with that job. I said, there's a roof over your head, but God put that roof there. I said, you ought to testify about it. There's bread on your table this afternoon, but you ought to tell it. That table came from the hand of God because God has been good to you. Most of you came here, and unless you live close, you came in some kind of vehicle, but God's been good to you. He blessed you with that vehicle. I said, you have health this morning. You have strength. You ought to show your appreciation to God. I said, you're sitting here in your right mind, and you ought to show your appreciation. The table is a reminder to you and I of all that God has done for us. You say, yeah, you got anything else, God? Let me tell you this. The greatest thing God did for you, he saved you from a devil's hell. Woo! I said, he saved you from a devil's hell. I said, we were on our way to hell. We had no hope of restoration. We had no help. We had no way out. But then the Bible says God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5, 8, 9, Christ died for us. Oh, yeah. I said, God made a way for you when there was no way. You and I would be facing hell were it not for the love of God and the sacrifice of his son. And this table reminds you and I, no matter how tough the sledding, no matter how tough it's gotten on you, the table reminds you, get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes on what your Father has already done for you. Hey, he's blessed you. He's strengthened you. He's provided for you. He's helped you. He's healed. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, God has been so, so good to you. He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And the table reminds us we ought to have appreciation. We ought to have appreciation. You know, 2 weeks ago, last month, on the 20th of July, our country celebrated one of the greatest aspects of our history, the landing on the moon, 50 years. We celebrated the moon just July 20th, which is about 2 weeks ago almost. We celebrated the landing on the moon, July 20th, 1969. Yeah. But what a lot of people don't know is that right after Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, after they landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong prepared himself to go out and take the first step on the moon, but you couldn't see Buzz Aldrin. He was in the limb there, and he had a communion elements with him. And before they ever left for the moon, Buzz got together with his pastor because he knew they couldn't get to the moon on their own without God's help. And as Buzz and his pastor discussed the enormous history that was about to be made, he and his pastor decided, and Buzz said, I want to celebrate communion on the moon. And his pastor prayed over the elements. And with Houston's knowledge, Buzz tucked away those elements. And when they landed on the moon, while Neil Armstrong was going down the ladder, Buzz Aldrin was breaking out the communion elements. And he quoted a verse out of John, I am the vine, you are the branches, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he said, thank you, Father, for guiding two young astronauts to the Sea of Tranquility. And he was saying, in effect, we're so appreciative because we would not have got here without you. We would not be sitting on the moon without you, God. And he celebrated communion, and he was supposed to announce it. They were going to cover it live. And just before he did, then in Houston, they told Buzz, don't say anything about it. We're in a lawsuit with Madeline Murray O'Hare. She's suing us from one of the previous orbits, on Christmas Day, NASA groups that were circling the earth, they read from the Bible. And Madeline Murray O'Hare filed a lawsuit. And NASA was scared, and they told him moments before they were gonna televise it, don't do it, you can do it, but don't tell anybody. And so he didn't tell anybody, but he celebrated communion. And after they landed safely back in the earth, they interviewed him, and he wrote about it in Guideposts magazine and was interviewed, very well documented, very little known. What was he after that day? He knew that they could not do all the math and science you want. He knew they could not successfully land on the moon without the help of God. And it was his way of showing his appreciation for all that God had done, giving God the glory and giving God the credit. And whatever you're going through, Jesus gave thanks. And so you say, you have any points to this message? The first one is appreciation. This table reminds us to show our appreciation. Secondly, this table reminds us to make our proclamation. Our appreciation is first. God saved us from a devil's hell. Jesus paid our price. He paid our penalty. He took our price. The judgment we should have faced, he faced it for you and he faced it for me, and that should draw our appreciation, our humble appreciation. Secondly, proclamation. He said, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This table is a reminder that, we have a proclamation. You and I have to make a proclamation. What is our proclamation? Listen, our proclamation, the things of God. Now, let me say it this way. God loves us. He loves everybody. And there's nothing you can do to change that. And there's nothing we can do to earn that. And there's nothing that whether we respond in faith or don't respond in faith, whether a person accepts Christ or doesn't accept Christ, God still loves them just the same. And there ain't nothing you can do to change that. And you may be here today and you may not be living right. You may not be living for God. You may not be following Christ. And maybe at some point you were. Hey, let me tell you this. God still loves you. It doesn't make what you're doing okay. But let me tell you this. You can't change the Father's love for you. Amen. Yeah. But if you want God, you want God to move his hand favorably in your behalf. There, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Want him to love you? You don't have to do a thing. Want him to move his hand to change something for you, move something in regard to you? That requires faith on our part. It requires a promise from his word and requires faith on our part. And part of that faith is it's a proclamation. Our faith is a proclamation. It's a when we see the table, it's a reminder that we are to proclaim all of our redemptive rights, our benefits in Christ, who we are in Christ. We are to proclaim. The table is a reminder that we are to say what God says about us. The table is a reminder that we are to proclaim all of our redemptive realities. The table is a reminder. You know, we sing a song. We sing a song here at church. I love, and part of the refrain goes, I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You know, you should be able to, when you see the table, it's a reminder. You should say, Lord, you said I'm righteous. I may not feel righteous. You might say this, I may not feel righteous, but you said I'm righteous. The table reminds you and I to show appreciation, but to give proclamation. Lord, I am who you say I am. If you said I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. If you said I'm made whole, I'm made whole. If you said I'm righteous, I'm righteous. If you said I'm blessed going out, then I'm blessed going out. If you said I'm blessed coming in, then I'm blessed coming in again. Oh, yeah. The table reminds you and I not to just sit silently, but to make proclamation. Who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, we are to proclaim it. Yeah. I'll tell you another proclamation. We are to proclaim and tell Satan, I no longer belong to you. You are no longer my master. You no longer have authority over me. Jesus took your hand off of me. He took your authority off of me. You can't trespass over me. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. All of my needs for physical sustenance are provided. God put it on the table. I'm healed. I'm strong. I'm well. I'm not lonely. I'm blessed. I said the table calls for us to make proclamation. We are to proclaim the good things that Christ has done for you and I. We are to proclaim it. That's how we walk in victory. We proclaim it. We come here showing appreciation. We come here to make proclamation. I am who you say I am. You said I'm righteous, then I'm righteous. You said I'm healed, then I'm healed. I remember several years ago going through a big storm, biggest storm I ever faced in my life. And the Lord told me about halfway through that storm, he said, now in my prayer time, he said, now you are to stand and proclaim that your storm is over. And my mind thought, well, Lord, the storm ain't over. The storm is still raging. But the Lord told me, you stand and proclaim that the storm is over. And I wrote in my prayer book, my storm is over. And I stood in my living room and I said, I'm going to proclaim so that everybody can hear it. Every demon from hell can hear it. I'm here to proclaim that the storm is over. That the blessing is flowing like a river. That God is perfecting that which concerns me. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, the table calls you and I and reminds us to make proclamation. We show appreciation. But finally, and lastly, listen, the scripture says, but a man, verse 28, must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This table reminds you and I that we are to make examination. We are to make examination. We are not just to simply swallow the cup, simply swallow the wafer with no thought on our part. We are to make examination. We are to have this table reminds us that this is an X-ray service. X-ray. You are in a service where the Lord is going to X-ray you. Now, one thing about it, he didn't tell us to X-ray one another. I wish I had an amen there. I said, I ain't got no business worried about what the Lord is talking to you about. I'm busy enough with him talking to me. God bless you and the Lord, whatever he's telling you. But we are to examine our heart. Now, I'm not talking. Listen, if you haven't done anything, there's nothing on your conscience, you haven't done anything. I'm not suggesting you go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. If there's nothing between you and God, then don't go fishing. Are you with me there? You get into legalism. Yeah. But I'm saying when the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight, the private spotlight on your heart, and when he shows you, you know, the way you treated your wife, that wasn't right. Can't get no amen there. Let me try this one. When he shows you the way you spoke to your husband, that wasn't right. When he shows you, you know how you handled that situation, that was not right. What is God wanting? The table is reminding us that when the X-ray is taken and when God privately shows us the X-ray, we are to examine our heart. And if there's anything there, just repent. What happens? The blood immediately erases it. I said the blood of Jesus. And aren't you thankful for the blood? I said there's nothing like the blood. I said thank God for the blood. Help me out. Thank God for the blood. Woo, say it one more time. Thank God for the blood. Woo, glory to God. That blood washes. That blood cleanses. That blood frees. That blood sets free. I said there's no power like the wonder-working power that's in the blood. The blood of the Lamb. What have you done? Let him wash it in the blood. We have a spiritual bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood. Glory to God. His blood has made us justified. God treats me just as if I'd never sinned. Thank God for the blood. Thank him for the blood. Our examination reminds us that there is a wafer of bread on this table representing the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we know that his body was broken for a specific reason. In fact, in Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely our griefs, my Bible says there, the literal word there means sicknesses in my Bible, the footnote for griefs. So you could say, surely our sicknesses he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell on him. And by his scourging or by his wounds, we are healed. Peter, looking back on the cross and the finished work of Jesus, said you were healed by his stripes. The table is an examination. But whatever the exam reveals, Jesus has already provided healing and redemption for. And so if it's physical, the stripes that he took on his back were for our healing. If it's emotional, the stripes that he took on his back were for our healing. If it's spiritual, the stripes he took upon his back were for our healing. Every need you may face, every challenge you may face, God has provided something on his table to deliver you. And because of who we are in Christ, then we walk in overwhelming victory. And so the examination today, let me just say this, because I said I was closing, and whenever a preacher says that, just ignore it. If you don't know that by now, you're new to the church. No, listen, the examination. Sometimes the Lord will have you and I make slight adjustments. And when we come to the communion table, it's a reminder, make examination, let the Holy Spirit, not legalism, but when God makes examination, it makes slight adjustments. It may not be no big whole big thing. Make adjustments. In 1985, having Brother Hagin for class, and I remember one time he was teaching us as students, and he was saying there was a very well-known evangelist. And this well-known evangelist was being used mightily by God all over the world. Authentic healings and deliverances, and it was awesome. But then came the day, Brother Hagin said that the Lord told him privately to go and talk to this evangelist privately and to encourage him to make adjustments in three areas. And he told him, you know, walk in love and being money-minded, walking in love toward his fellow minister and his diet, those three things. And I remember sitting on the edge of my seat listening to Brother Hagin as he was teaching that. And Brother Hagin said he went to the minister privately. And he shared with him that the Lord had told him to make adjustments in those three areas. Walking in love and in his diet. And walking in love and in his diet. What was the third one? And his money-minded. He said it was money-minded. And he said that the minister didn't listen. And he said that one day, Gordon Lindsay, he was the leader of the Voice of Healing, and he was leading a prayer meeting, and Gordon Lindsay called for a group of ministers who were in a service to come down because that famous evangelist that Brother Hagin had gone to, he had taken suddenly ill. And Gordon Lindsay, the head of the Voice of Healing, called all the ministers down, we're going to come down and pray for this minister. And as Brother Hagin was on the way down the aisle, he said the Lord told him, go back to your seat and sit down. And Brother Hagin was talking back and forth with the Lord. Lord, I want to go and pray for him. I want to go for him. And the Lord said, Brother Hagin told the Lord, the man is about to die. I want to pray that you'll have mercy on him. And the Lord said, go back to your seat and sit down. And Brother Hagin was concerned what it was going to look like. What is it going to look like if I go back to my seat and all the other ministers are down there praying? And the Lord told him, go back to your seat and sit down. And he went back and he sat down. And the Lord told him, he's going to die. And Brother Hagin was pleading with the Lord in prayer for him. And the Lord told him, he never made any adjustment. He said, first of all, I spoke to him time after time, but he didn't listen to me. Brother Hagin said, the Lord told him, I sent other ministers to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen to them either. He said, then I sent you to talk to him, and he wouldn't listen to you. And Brother Hagin said, even after all the prayers that everyone had prayed, that man went home to be with the Lord a short while after that. But it was unnecessary, because if he had simply made adjustments, I'm not talking about a God who's trying like a fly swatter every time we do something wrong, pow, pow. That's not God. God, the Bible says this, God is rich in mercy. He wants to judge no one. In fact, he says, just judge yourself. Don't put me in a position as your father to have to judge you, but judge yourself. And when you read the rest of the text, there was a phenomena going on in Corinth at the time. What was the phenomena? Many people in that church, they were dying early. Others were weak. Others were sick. It's in the text. Just for the sake of time, I'm just paraphrasing. Paul writes to the Corinthians, some of you are weak, some of you are sick, some of you have died early. And he said, you are abusing communion. You're going to communion. God's speaking to your heart. You're doing nothing about it. In Corinth, They were mocking the communion. They celebrated with a meal. They had a full meal, and then they had communion as well. And in their full meal, so many people in the church didn't have anything to eat. And people who had so much didn't give anything. They didn't help anybody. They just ate right in front of them. They ate right in front of hungry people. Then said, we're celebrating the communion. Praise the Lord. Whip-de-doo. And Paul said, you're mocking the communion by not having some type of examination where you make just a little adjustment. Yeah. And so this morning, as we prepare for communion, we've shown appreciation, we've made proclamation, and as the Holy Spirit now makes examination, I just ask you to search your heart. And you might be here, and maybe you're not living right, and maybe nobody knows it, but nobody knows it. You and God knows it. You're not living right. But today, the Lord wants you to make a little adjustment. It's not a preacher you're obeying. It's the Lord. With every head bowed just for a moment, every head bowed. If you're here and maybe you've never received Christ into your life, you don't know that if you were to die tonight, you're not sure what would happen to you. You need to let me pray for you. Let me see your hand in this place. I need you to lift your hand real big. Ushers, help me. Thank you. I see your hand. If you were to die tonight, thank you. I see your hand. If you don't know what would happen to you if you leave this world tonight, lift your hand so I can pray for you. God's mercy is flowing like a river. God's knocking at the door of your heart. You sense the Lord talking. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. You sense the Lord talking to you, but you want to ignore him like times before. You want to ignore him? I see your hand. Till the service is over and run your way out. Uh-uh. Don't push him away. Thank you. But don't push him away. Today is your day. Others of you, you're in this audience. You have accepted Christ before. You know what it is like to accept Christ, but you have gone the other way. And you're not living for Christ. And you sense something tugging at your heart. It's not a something, it's a someone. He's God, the Holy Spirit. And he's talking to you. And it's time to get right with him. Let me see your hand. I want you to pray for me, preacher. I want to get right with God today. Let me see your hand. Lift your hand. Thank you. Lift your hand real big. Be real with God. Thank you. Don't worry about people. Be real with it. Be real with God. God's trying to help you. God loves you so much. God doesn't want to judge you. God wants you to just judge yourself. And you know God's tugging. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand. Come on. You know you're not living right. Oh, God's going to help you today. God's going to help you today. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I'm going to count to three. And on any of those invitations, you want to be born again. You want to be restored to the Lord. You've been backslidden. Or you want to even be filled with the Holy Spirit according to that powerful New Testament experience in Acts 2:4. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want you to lift your hand. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Now, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, all I want you to do is just stand up on your feet. Just obey God. It's not a man. It's not a man. You're obeying God. You're obeying God. You're obeying God. I want you to respond to the Lord now. One, get your eyes off of people. God sees everything you've been going through. And this morning, he rushes to your side. Two, get your eyes on the Lord. Don't worry about any other person. We love you. We're not condemning you. We love you. Three, now stand up on your feet. Just stand. That's right. That's right. That's right. Just all over the building. Stand up on your feet. That's right. Just stand up on your feet. Just stand up on your feet. All over the building, in the balcony, stand up on your feet. That's right. That's right. Now I want you to excuse yourself. Step out in the aisle. Come down here and let me pray for you. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Just excuse yourself. Come right on down here. Come right on down here. God's going to help you. God is going to help you. God's going to help you. Oh, God's going to help you. Oh, when you obey God like that, when you come on. When you obey God, oh, God's going to help you. Oh, God's going to touch you. God's going to see you through. Oh, God's going to change it for you. God's going to turn it around for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Respond to the Lord. You're not responding to me. I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Oh, but when God gets to move in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, the doors of the church are open today. church are open today. You know, today you've come down today in response to what the Lord is saying to you in your heart. I'm just a man, I'm a preacher, and I can't give you what you need, but I know who can. And his name is Jesus. And I tell you, he's died to save you and to restore you and to heal you and to fill you. And that's exactly what's happening at this altar. I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. And as they're lifting their hand, you may be sitting in your seat knowing you should be down here. Get up and come down here. Get up and come down here. Come on, God's waiting on you. Just lift one hand to the Lord because you're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. In the congregation, extend your hand. Release your faith. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. I just want us all to pray this prayer out loud. All right, just say this right out loud. Father, in Jesus' name I come. I give you complete control. I surrender my life to you right now. Father, with all sincerity, I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I thank you for your promise. You said that if I would ask you, that you would come in, that you would make me the person you want me to be, and that you would heal me, you would touch me, you'd provide for me, and you would change things for me, and you will fill me in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, I take you at your word. I thank you that I'm forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, by the sacrifice of his body. I thank you that I'm made whole. I thank you for eternity has begun on the inside of me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. God, he sees the sincerity of your heart. He sees the sincerity of which you just prayed that prayer. And let me tell you this, God is going to do some awesome things in your life as a result of your decision. Come on, let's give it up for him. That is not condemnation. That is love. That is the love of Jesus you hear. Yeah. And so we've got free materials, and we also have one-on-one prayer counselors who can answer questions, and we want to give you a bunch of free materials and answer questions for you. That's Reverend Greg Finley. If you'll go with him to the prayer room, they're not going to keep you very long, and we're going to also serve you communion. Just go with Reverend Greg right now, and they're going to make sure that you get everything you came for. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise God. Point your hands toward them as pastors always taught us to pray. Father, we thank you for these going to the prayer room now. Thank you for uplifting them, for healing, strengthening, baptizing with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Thank you for renewing them, giving them everything that they came for. Thank you that their lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name, may your power fall in that prayer room. In Jesus' name, amen.